800-259-8945.
A protester who burned pages from the Quran is booted from his job. It's a rush for gold, hitting yet another record. Check it out. I got some numbers for you. The French say no to the burqa. It's the law now. This is America Tonight. I'm Kay Delaney. Hey, everybody. From the left to the right to those places in between, can't make up your mind, furious about what's going on in Washington or in your own backyard, this is the place to come, because we have the ultimate water cooler buzz on the overnight highway. You can join us at any time and throw in your 2 cents. I'm going to give you the digits right at the top. You know, sometimes when we talk about people confusing things, we never mention the number deal. A lot of us have a hard time with numbers. So I'm going to give it to you twice. 800-259-5791. You know, this is really for my own benefit because I'm brutal at numbers. 800-259-5791. But the top story has to be look out incumbents. It's unbelievable what's been happening, and today was proof that there is power in this Tea Party movement, like it or not, for people who don't understand what's happening with the Tea Party, and for people who like what's happening, they have to be thrilled by the response. This was a big one. How about Christine O'Donnell? She knocked off her Republican opponent in Delaware's Republican U.S. Senate primary, and this was a big one, too. You had the feeling she was getting the momentum, but knocking off Castle was giant in Delaware. Huge. And that wasn't the only one who toppled. Some other results on a primary balloting kind of day for a lot of different places included another Tea Party backed conservative, Carl Palladino. He won New York's Republican gubernatorial primary. And also, you've got a Tea Party candidate that's got really the lead in New Hampshire's Senate primary, GOP Senate primary. So here we go again. And there was all kind of voting across the board. There were some incumbent Democrats that won their primaries. An interesting thing, you've got the problems with Charlie Rangel and what's going on with him in New York because, you know, he's going to be tried. That ethics trial is coming up. But he did win his primary. And also, Washington's mayor, who at one point was pretty popular, trailed in his reelection bid. Fennedy is his name. So it's been a wild kind of day. But the results from the biggest races, the high-profile ones that I just mentioned, especially when you're talking about New York, it shows that the Tea Party movement is continuing to knock off some of the more moderate Republican types. So what do you attribute that to? And I just wonder what the real buzz is, not necessarily what's being fed, not necessarily what I'm hearing. I wonder what the real buzz is among the top Republicans, what they're saying, because this leads to some confusion in some cases when they're just flat out stunned by the results. I mean, O'Donnell was virtually unknown, absolutely an unknown last year, but more than 53% of the vote, and that's, you know, still counting. And her opponent, check this out. If you're not familiar with Congressman Castle, 9-time Congressman Mike Castle had 47% of the vote. The turnout was strong for a midterm primary in a lot of parts of that state. They say particularly in the Southern District, which is what O'Donnell really targeted, figuring that she had a voice there. So she was beaming from ear to ear. This is a giant win. Now what happens is, you know, of course, going on to November 2nd, but Castle was the guy who was backed by the Republican Party, the National Republican Party. But here's the thing, O'Donnell got the endorsement of Sarah Palin and also got a kick financially, about $150,000 in some funds from the Tea Party Express to try to get her in there at the last second, and she is definitely a Washington outsider. I mean, there is no question about it. Castle is the guy who has the political cred, if you will, in the nation's capital, and just knocked off, boom, just like that. So now then it becomes, is this person capable, is O'Donnell capable of winning the Senate seat in November? And we're going to let you hear in the next hour, we're going to let you hear a little bit of O'Donnell's speech, but she's going to have to work very hard to make things happen. I mean, what does the Republican senatorial committee do? They just congratulate her immediately after the results, and that's it. But they're stunned because this was not their person. This wasn't the political person. Now it's a question of, can she generate enough viable support on the ground before her own party, before the national party, because she's still Republican? Will she get enough, I don't know, street cred that they'll pony up some of the money for her? I guess that's kind of the way to say that. And, you know, now it's up to, it's, you know, in the air to see what will happen. I think it's going to be one of those cases where it's word of mouth and banging on door to door. And she's going to face the Democrat Christopher Coons in November for the seat formerly held by Vice President Joe Biden, of course. Then you've got the situation in New Hampshire. You have a conservative candidate, LaMontagne, who got a huge boost in his bid to knock off the candidate that was really favored by the establishment as far as the Republicans were concerned. And the winner runs in November to succeed the retiring Republican senator there, Judd Gregg, as you all know. So some interesting things certainly afoot when it comes to politics and what's going on with these virtually unknown people. Forget the whole Tea Party thing for a second. We're talking about virtually unknown people who are running for office, different offices, whether it's Senate or the House, and they're starting to make some serious noise, and these were two really big, big wins. And the same thing in New York, so I would probably say three. Palladino was considered the one with the most Tea Party movement behind him, the real push there. And, you know, Charlie Rangel, how did he get into the position that he got into? Forever and ever, he's been a congressman from New York despite all the problems that he's had. And he got some help from the former president, Bill Clinton, because there were five challengers in that primary on the Democratic side to take his spot. He's been in that position for 40 years, but he's got it. Now it's a question of what happens with the House Ethics Committee and whether or not they're going to say that or they can nail him for the financial mess that he got into, and whether that harms the credibility of Congress. I'm thinking they're going to really nail him to the wall on it, so it's not even an issue there. But November 2nd is going to be an interesting election, my friends. All right, we focused on just the one thing, and of course it's knocking off the incumbents and what's happened on a day of primaries, but we're going to swing into some other things that are going on in our own backyard next here on ATN.
This may surprise you. Type 2 diabetes has reached epidemic proportions among both adults and children. You or someone you know may have it. Managing type 2 diabetes in conventional ways is a never-ending task. But this good news may also surprise you. A recent UCLA study proved that type 2 diabetes can be reversed in only 21 days. Purium Health Products recently developed a product that mimics the healthy diet used in that UCLA study, called Scoop of Greens, an easy, great-tasting, affordable way to give your body the nutritional additional tools to help it overcome type 2 diabetes. Scoop of Greens has been awarded the Diabetes Resource Center Seal of Approval, so you know it's safe. See Scoop of Greens and other world-class whole living foods and nutraceuticals at DiabeticHealthSolution.com. To order, call 888-747-6733. That's 888-747-6733. Mention GCN for a healthy discount and ask about the Buy 3, Get 1 Free special. Start keeping type 2 diabetes in check at DiabeticHealthSolution.com.
Men, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
Better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let her do all the talking. Ooh. Ooh. Came across a place in the middle of nowhere.
For now, the people who hold the seats in the Senate had a big vote today. In fact, the Senate voted to move the $42 billion Small Business Jobs Act forward, so they pushed the ball down the field, bringing the bill maybe a little bit closer to passing. The key test vote went 61-37. A final vote is expected sometime later this week, maybe by Thursday, Friday, obviously, at the latest. So if the bill does pass the final Senate vote, if they say yay, yay, yay on the floor, then it still has to go back to the House, as you know, for approval. Then it reaches President Obama, and, of course, that's a layup that's going to be signed. What the bill is expected to do, at least some say, is it'll create 500,000 jobs. And, you know, certainly things do click when it comes to small business. That's what I keep saying, that I'm about capitalism, no matter how many people want to paint that into a greedy, awful, ugly thing. The fact is the system has worked so well for so long, and it just needs to be tweaked. That's what the problem is, and small businesses make the money flow. The question is that, you know, where in going through this little bit of a hurdle here and then moving forward, what does it offer as far as tax cuts? Well, supposedly the tax cuts are going to be there for investment and entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurship, I guess, is the better way to say it. And then there would be money in grants to some of the state's lending programs that are hurting for cash. But the thing is, they didn't get enough votes to push forward a key issue, some thought, for small businesses, was which was the expanded tax reporting requirements in health care reform laws that would require businesses to file millions of additional forms. Whew. Boy, I want that to pass, don't you? So I don't think that should be there. I would definitely not back that. We've talked to people on the air about it. Are you kidding? Okay, roll up our sleeves, create something great, hire new people, and then sit there and figure out how to maneuver around the system so that you can file everything correctly. So the bottom line is that didn't go anywhere. But the other part did. So the votes were there. This is just the first part of it, though. And I know a lot of you listening to me know all about the 1099. So that's for all your freelancers. And under the new healthcare law, the 1099 form would be used to track payments for services and tangible goods. And it requires that the 1099s be issued not just to the guy who's doing the printing the cards for you or whatever, but to the corporations too. And that's the problem, and I'm glad that that was blocked out of it. It would be outrageous. It would take forever to try to figure out how to fill all that stuff out. And it's if you do, it's if you buy more than 600 in services or any of those goods. And so you have to think about that. It's like if somebody does your website for you and it's over 600 a year, there would be an example of it, or I said the card thing or your printing or, you know, whatever it might be. Anyway, here's a plethora of familiar voices talking about the small biz victory, at least so far, including Senator Harry Reid, who's shaking in his boots as far as whether or not he's going to be able to knock off Sharon Engel, the upstart who's challenging him in his race to be the senator again in the state of Nevada. He's been there for 28 years. Barbara Boxer, same thing. She's heavily challenged. You know that. And Mary Landrieu's in the middle of this, too. So check out what some of the senators had to say.
It's alive. It's a living bill that we're going to pass later today because 61 senators in this chamber said yes to the country and no to party politics.
This is not a victory for the Democratic Party. This is not a loss for the Republican Party. This is a win for the American people. This is going to help small business, which has always been the driver of jobs in our country.
I say to Senator Voinovich, thank you for putting your country first, ahead of politics, and putting small businesses and workers of our country first.
All right, so there you go. There was some cooperation on both sides of this. And as I mentioned, probably because the 1099 thing was killed, because that wasn't going anywhere, that IRS deal, as to documenting it and figuring out the wages, the salaries, the freelancers. You get it. I know many of you work that way, actually, where you're a 1099 employee. And so in the end, for a small business, and even for the people who are on the other side of that, I think it'd be pretty difficult. All right, let's rifle through a couple of other things. This was a big story. We had two of our favorite aviation people on to talk about it. Airline investigator Denny Kelly, who's always great when he comes on the show, and also DJ Frost, an international pilot. Remember the mid-air collision in the Hudson? The National Transportation Safety Board said the probable cause of that collision last year that killed, it was so awful, they were just visiting from Italy. Nine people were killed in that. They say it was the limitations of the see and avoid concept, and also the fact that an air traffic controller was having a personal phone conversation at the time of the crash. Awful. There were people visiting from Bologna, and they were on a sightseeing helicopter, and then a single-engine plane collided with them, and it was too late. I mean, the final seconds, the airplane pilot hadn't seen the helicopter until the final seconds right before the collision. Terrible, terrible thing. So that's just a follow-up for you on one of those things where distraction played a part of it because somebody wasn't paying attention at the controls. All right, this was another big, big story that we've talked about from day one, I think, when I jumped on the air of America Tonight, started doing the show. And, of course, it's immigration. And immigration that makes its way, winds its way into other bills, and then you find out about it later. So now there's this new thing. Harry Reid saying he's going to add the DREAM Act, that's what he's calling it, and it's radioactive, and it should be, to a defense bill that the Senate's going to take up next week. So what it means is, and there's so much on the board there, the part of that bill, the DREAM Act, this was what he's saying, is that it, if it's passed, it gives you that pathway to citizenship, amnesty basically, for young illegals who go to college or serve in the military. So the acronym for it is Development Relief Education of Alien Minors Act. And so what he's saying is, look, we can't do comprehensive immigration, but those Republicans that we had in the last Congress have left us. Because here's what's happened in Nevada, especially with Reid, what he's facing, a lot of Hispanic voters, and they're furious that nothing has happened as far as immigration overhaul. I know I've said this story before. In 2006, I was in Las Vegas when all the protests were going on across the country over immigration. Remember, originally there were signs where people were saying pro-immigration, anti-immigration. People weren't even getting it right, but there were all kinds of marches. And then there was the conversation, and this was when Bush was president, about what to do, and nothing happened in the end. Everything got shot down. So what Reid's doing is he's playing to his base, playing to the constituents to try to get the votes, which is what all the politicians are doing. But that's why that's put in there. The Senate would have, we already know this, right, 60 votes to take up the bill next week. He says he doesn't know if he has enough votes. I'm going to tell you he does not have enough votes for this one. There's all kinds of problems with it. On the surface, you look at it and say, okay, well, that's not their fault, right? They born here in the United States? Are we talking about anchor babies that grow up? And then part of the problem is that what happens with the parents? And where are you determining, since we don't have any kind of a pathway to citizenship for people who have cut in the line? And there's too much confusion over it, so I'm going to guarantee you there's not going to be enough Republican support anyway there, and that's not going to go through. But it's good politicking for his base, and that's why I think that came up. Hey, coming up on the flip side, because so many of you requested it when we started to talk about the housing market and how it was collapsing. You started to tell me about your personal stories and trying to sell houses or trying to hang on to houses. We've started a new segment called In Your Backyard. I kind of was making vague references with other stories to it, but this specifically is what it is. Things that affect you in your backyard day to day. So we're going to push the politics aside sort of for a minute. Hang with us.
Attention gun owners. You're into guns and many people you know are into guns. Well, someone needs to maintain, clean, and repair those guns, and it could be you. Now get a free how-to gunsmith DVD sampler from AGI, the American Gunsmithing Institute. Learn the art of professional gunsmithing as a part or full-time career. Develop a lucrative business by learning the art of gunsmithing through over 71 exclusive DVD training courses. Get started today by ordering our free DVD sampler video and catalog at AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. See how to quickly learn firearm disassembly, reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. To order your free DVD sampler and catalog, call 800-367-9792 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Ask about a bonus $10 savings coupon when you call 800-367-9792 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
There's a wide range of stuff on here.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Can you live with minor aches and pains? Maybe. But oftentimes, those won't-go-away pains become so debilitating that we are not able to do things we used to, like go for a walk, garden, or even button a shirt. Now, restore normal function naturally and give yourself the freedom to move with Recovery Extra Strength. Over-the-counter drugs will stop the pain, but at the expense of your liver. Recovery Extra Strength is the number one solution for pain and inflammation. It contains Nutricol, a unique proprietary blend of green tea and grapes, and is made in Canada under strict Health Canada oversight of natural products. If you suffer from arthritis, bursitis, tendonitis, back, or other aches and pains, use Recovery Extra Strength. Call 866-543-3388 or go to RemarkableRecovery.com. Get free shipping on orders of $50 or more when you use checkout code GCN Radio. Call 1-866-543-3388 or go to RemarkableRecovery.com for Recovery Extra Strength for pain-free mobility.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Attention, an important product from hempusa.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
A break from the politics, and wow, how about those gold prices today? Wait till I tell you about those. Had an interesting conversation. A couple of years ago, gold was a song. Now, it's amazing what's happened there. And we've started a new segment here on America Tonight. It's called In Our Backyard. And it's the things that affect every single one of us. Not that all the other things we talk about don't, but things that right now are you're staring at, things that you have to do, whatever it is, including sell a house. I know a lot of people are frustrated because they're having a hard time dumping a house when they have something else on the line. And it's not that the house isn't a great house, but maybe it's just not staged right. So I thought it would be fun to bring on Gina and Tom back again, Branch, and let them give us a little help on how you can get your house ready to sell. So you don't have to go through some of those frustrations that I can hear from people who are sending me emails about how they're stuck in something and they know they've got good property, but they have something else on the line. There are a couple of great realtors, and they know how to do this. Guys, how you doing?
Hey, we're fine. Good evening.
We're great. Glad to be here.
Thank you. You know what, Gina, it is a big thing, staging now. And I have to say this, when I went to get a house for the first time, there were a couple of houses that I looked at that just, it threw me off. There was so much clutter and there was, dogs and cats everywhere, and the houses themselves looked pretty decent, but I could never get that tape out of my head. And then as I started to look at more places, you know, just little things like the front looked good. It looked like it had been mowed and trimmed and whatnot. And I have to say that was part of what caught my attention, I think, and made a place look a little bit bigger to me, and went into my actually deciding to get a house. And I think people listening, a lot of guys out there listening, know a lot of women especially are put off by that. How big is it to now get your house in the right kind of shape?
I think in today's market, it is just of utmost importance to stage it, have it ready for showing, because you really, it's a cliche, but you only get one time to make a first impression. And most buyers will make up their mind in the first 60 seconds they're in a house. That initial impression is just so important.
So what do you do if you have a lot of junk? What if you're a knick-knack person? I mean, look, I got a huge baseball collection, all my sports memorabilia, but I'm sure that would put somebody off. I'm just giving that as an example. What do you do when you have other kinds of clutter? What should you do with it?
Box it up and stick it in the attic. We've had people that even had clutter as far as having too much furniture in a room, so the room looks small. So we might recommend that they remove some furniture items, get a storage unit, and get some of that stuff out of there to open up the room and make it look bigger to the buyer.
What about, Tom, if you've got something, you know, hey, we all have different tastes. I'll never forget that movie when Harry met Sally, and there's a big scene where there was a wagon wheel table, and that became something that could have led to a breakup. And, they were playing it off about moving in together and having tacky furniture. But what do you say to, you know, like dogs playing poker, that whole thing?
And that's funny that I talked to somebody about dogs playing poker the other day. But I mean, honestly, you want to try to scale it back. If it's an eccentric piece, if you get a piece in your house where you've got a bunch of deer heads up, we've got a lot of hunters here in Texas, you're going to get some people that are totally turned off by that. So, you know, you really have to tone it down and kind of take that common denominator. If you ever really want to know what it needs to look like, just walk into a model home and a new home builder. I mean, those are usually impeccably staged.
The thing about the deer, I'm sure a lot of the guys listening to us in Kentucky and Illinois can relate to that too, because that's, you know, those are special prizes and you know, people want to see them on display, but it could turn other people off. How about Gene, I was talking about this pulling up to a house and how big that is, just simple things like edging and trimming the hedges and even painting the front door. What if it's a sloppy door? You know, some people would say, well, who cares? It's the front door. The rest of the house looks good. But does that leave an impression, do you think?
Absolutely. I've had buyers in the car where we've pulled up to a home and they wouldn't even get out of the car because the front yard was overgrown. You couldn't even see the house because the bushes had not been trimmed. And it just leaves the impression that the home has not been well cared for or well maintained when you pull up and the yard hasn't been taken care of. And most times that's the case, not every time, but a lot of times. When you walk up to a front door and we have to stand there with our key card and unlock it, buyers have a chance to kind of look around, and if the front door is dirty or filthy or needs to be repainted, once again, it's kind of leaving them with the impression that, wow, this seller really didn't take great care of their home. So it's just little things make a huge difference when it comes to curb appeal and staging.
Yeah, Tom, what about, so in trying to stage things, you mentioned too much furniture. Gina said that, so you've got to get rid of it where it looks too bulky. So let's say you pare that down, but you don't have great-looking stuff. Can you rent furniture? And how do you do this to really make it look good so that, listen, you can end up, and every man listening to me can relate to this, you end up with maybe $10,000 more in your pocket. So how much do you think you have to put out to make it look nice?
You know, and I say this all the time when I meet sellers, and that's, you know, dollar in's got to produce a dollar out. So, you know, typically you want to paint, you want to clean, you know, you plant flowers, all those things will produce revenue. I mean, they'll pay for themselves several times over. You know, if you have bad furniture, you know, furniture that's not in good shape, you can always cover it with covers. You can rent furniture. That becomes very expensive very quickly. On a vacant house, we do partial staging. We don't do it. We actually hire out. There are professional stagers out there that have furniture deals with people, you know, where they can bring furniture in and it's display models for some of the furniture stores in the area. So there are ways to do it that are inexpensive. But a partial stage, you stage the kitchen, you'll stage the bathroom, you may stage, you know, some stuff where you're not bringing in a whole house load of furniture into a vacant house to make it, to help people visualize what it would look like.
What houses, Tom, are moving the most now? Is there a certain, you know, is it the 150 to 200? Is it the 200 to 400? Is it, I mean, I know I'm kind of, and every neighborhood's different, but what where do you think the houses price-wise are moving the best right now?
Well, anything below 417, which is the conventional conforming cap, is in better shape. Anything that's a jumbo loan above 417 is definitely slower. And I know you're a national show, so I would always say, you know, talk to a local because all real estate is local. You know, what's moving here, you know, is anything below about 270, which is the FHA cap here in Tarrant and Dallas counties. But it may vary from state to state. And, you know, now that we've been through the cash for clunkers comes to the housing market, also known as the federal tax credit, it comes to a screeching halt. So, you know, until this market stabilizes, and it's all over the place. But it's definitely below 417 here locally.
Yeah, Gina, do you guys, because, you know, you've been in the game for a long time. You've seen a lot of markets crest and come down a little bit. Do you feel optimistic that, and it's like Tom just said, it's different. Everybody listening to us has a different neighborhood and different situations. It's harder in parts of California and Florida. Just depends. It's that location thing. But do you feel like things are turning around? Are you showing more houses? Do you feel like more people are interested?
Somewhat. I mean, we had a slow period over the summer, but I think activity is beginning to pick up a little bit. Real estate, at least here in Texas, is very seasonal. We'll be busy up to about Thanksgiving, and then things will really slow down over the holidays, and we'll pick back up again in February or March. But we're having a great year ourselves. Personally, we're doing better this year than we did last year, and I think things are picking up a little bit. I'm not sure that 2011 is really going to be the year where we see a big recovery, just because there are a lot of mortgages out there that will be adjusting next year, which will make things difficult for folks. But I think we're lucky, at least here in the Texas market, to be where we are, and the fact that the state has remained very stable has been a good thing for real estate here.
Yeah, somebody wanted me to ask you this question, too, that it's like a little thing, but maybe it would be a touch that would kind of help a little bit. If you had water or sodas or cookies, that kind of stuff, out, if you know, how much is it going to cost you? If you just had it out when people were traipsing through, it kind of leaves a nice touch. Is that true?
Absolutely it is. That's what we call having the home show ready as opposed to just being staged. Mm-hmm. Show ready is when the seller has noticed that someone is going to come look at the house. They need to get the lighting right. They need to pay attention to the scents. Which is where, you know, baking chocolate chip cookies and leaving those out just before a buyer comes so that the buyers walk in and it smells like grandma's house. Putting little bottles of water out with a little note, you know, please take one. All of those things will keep the buyers in the house longer, and the longer they're in the house, you know, the better it is for the seller. So all of those things, fresh flowers, having your fans on, fresh vacuum tracks on the carpets, all of those things are getting the home show ready, and they do really have a good impact on the buyer.
One last one, Tom, and this is a tough one, but you say when you're with clients and you go down a neighborhood, what if the neighborhood looks junky but the house is gorgeous but the neighbors have their car on blocks?
You know, and you do run into that, especially as you get into some of the older sections, and there's not a whole lot you can do about that. You know, as much as I'm not a huge fan of homeowners associations and regulation, you know, that's one of the good things that often comes out of that is you won't find the cars on the blocks and the, you know, the purple house or the, you know, like I said, I'm not a fan of homeowners associations, but I think that's one of the things they do well. So if you're in one of those situations, we had a client we talked to one day, and I guess the people next door were killing rabbits in the backyard and had them hung up to dry. I mean, so it was just about impossible for her to sell that house with that going on, and there's not a lot you can do about it. I mean, the city came out and shut them down, but that didn't help that showing that went south.
And we always ask buyers, too, if we happen to be showing a property and the neighborhood looks a little run down, I have them drive back out on a weekend as opposed to a weekday, or a daytime as opposed to an evening, and just kind of drive through numerous times to see if maybe it was just that day something was off, or if they do it numerous times, they get a better feel for what does the neighborhood look like consistently, and then let them make a determination.
Oh, that's a good tip there. All right, Gina and Tom Brandt, always terrific realtors. Great to talk to you on America Tonight.
And now for another exciting minute from Life Change Tea. To all our Life Change Tea customers, it's sale time. Buy three, get one free. Buy three packages of Life Change G and get one package absolutely free. Now to all of you that have not tried Life Change Tea, here's your chance. Buy three, get one free. Clean toxins and chemicals inside your body. Lose inches off your waist and you could lose that excess weight that's been driving you crazy. And with our buy three, get one free sale, it's a great time to order. So here's how. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Look for our special, or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. It feels good to be clean, and it feels good to lose weight, and it really feels good to save money. So order now at GetTheTea.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
You've got your gold, water filters, and storable food. Now for complete self-sufficiency, make your own fuel with Revenor.com. Don't laugh. A quality still from Revenor.com and our free book included with every still is all you need to beat the high cost of gas and stop dependence on foreign oil. Find out how easy it is to legally make your own alcohol fuel at R-E-V-E-N-O-O-R.com. Or call 503-662-4173. Revenor.com. Find quality alcohol stills.
Did somebody say stills? That's how Grandpappy made his own sour mash, and you can too. Revenor stills can be used to make brandies, liquors, whiskey, vodka, and more. All perfectly legal with a permit. You should check into having your own Revenor still at Revenor.com. That's R-E-V-E-N-O-O-R.com. Or call 503-662-4173. 1 year warranty on all stills from Revenor.com. Fine quality alcohol stills.
Segment in our backyard. Thought this would be fascinating stuff for people. You know, homeowners associations, and we were just talking to Gina and Tom Branch about selling houses and what you do to get your house ready and how tough it can be for people because, you know, they're trying to get rid of a house. They have something else on the line. Kids have left. They have a big house. They want to downsize. So you're trying to give yourself every single edge, especially with the way the economy is. And it doesn't actually matter whether you're talking about 200 to 400 or 400 and up. And a lot of you guys out there know what I mean because many of you have written me emails about moving someplace else and how difficult it was and that sort of thing. So as we continue down that path, what about the HOAs? What about the homeowners associations and how so many get the rap of being too strict and too ridiculous about things, about a flag being a little bit off or a satellite dish that didn't look right or whatever it might be. And we know the exaggerated stories and then we know the real stories that are out there. And because of that, now there's become a lot of legislative battles that are actually happening across the country. Some of you might be aware of that. And joining us now on America Tonight to talk about what's happening in Texas is Sandy Denton, and she's with the TCAA. It's the Texas Community Association Advocates. Sandy, thanks for coming on the air with us. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
First of all, talk about what the TCAA is and why you formed it.
The Texas Community Association Advocates is really the voice of community association living across the state of Texas. We have been broadening our perspective as we are finding more challenges at the legislatures and really want to be able to be in a position to help everyone understand at the Capitol that people really do enjoy living in community associations and respect what the board is providing to them, enjoy their rules. But we hear all these stories, as you mentioned, where it seems like the association is doing all these bad things, when in reality, more and more people are buying in community associations and deed restricted communities.
Yeah, isn't it, and I was just, we were just talking about reselling houses and what happens. And what happens to people sometimes is they have a neighbor down the street who they just let the house go, and people see that and then they are worried about moving into the neighborhood. So if there was something positive, certainly, and you know this about the HOAs, it's that, right? That you, there are certain standards that have to, that a homeowner has to have, so you wouldn't necessarily have that problem when you're, when someone's going to resell.
Right. The basic principles of community associations are that they're out there to protect your property values and that everybody buys into a certain standard of living and agree to follow the rules. They enter into a private contract with their association, and through that process they're saying, yes, I am agreeing to abide by these rules, and I understand that that's what the expectation is, and I come in here expecting that my neighbors are going to abide by that too. And so when neighbors don't abide by it, then other residents within community associations get frustrated and look to their boards and their associations to take action. Then when the boards take action, some people who perhaps maybe shouldn't have bought into a community association feel like they're being treated unfairly. But what we're seeing is since 2000, 4 out of 5 homes are being bought in community associations. More and more municipalities are requiring developers to create associations, not only to help ensure that property values are maintained in the aesthetics of the community, but also to provide different types of municipal services that, you know, in the 40s and 50s our cities were providing. And associations today are providing many of those services, whether it's security patrol services or street lights or community events, in some cases private streets, and really maintaining the aesthetic value as well as a sense of community within their associations versus relying on our municipalities to provide those services.
Yeah. Tell us about what's happening in Austin, because I know that this is something that's going on across the nation. This is, there's a buzz about the homeowners associations, and we know most people go after the FHA mortgage, and now they're finding that there's some problems here. Certainly we know this with the first-time home buyers, but with what the FHA is doing on condominium projects and all that sort of stuff, it's making it tougher, isn't it? And that's kind of where you're at.
It is. Not only are we dealing with issues at each state level, but at the federal level. And most recently, FHFA has drafted some proposed rules that would impact associations who have deed-based fees. Well, many associations have those deed-based transfer fees for community foundations, or they're a funding mechanism to help the association give back to the community and do things in the community. And so what we're finding is that there is a true misunderstanding of the purpose of what these associations are providing across the board. And then the other part of what we're dealing with at the state level, certainly in the state of Texas, is that when, in fact, a foreclosure on a home makes the media, when an association forecloses, which is not very often at all, our statistics say 1/12 to 1% annually of the homes that could be subject to foreclosure actually foreclosed on by an association, far under any lending institutions or taxing authorities. But it is the leverage that the association needs. And so what happens is our legislator offices hear about the, you know, from their constituents that my association foreclosed on me. And so they're looking at wanting to take away the ability of associations to foreclose. And that becomes challenging because then the associations do not have sufficient revenue to make, provide the services that they're obligated to provide or that the city or county or others bought into and what their expectations were. So it becomes a real challenge in terms of trying to educate our legislators as well as providing a good balance of residents buying in community associations and understanding what that means.
Yeah, because then what happens is it's, well, you know, this controversy sells, and then the story gets bigger and bigger, and it snowballs, and it's led to some of the things that certainly that you've seen, and that's why there's so much of this, I guess, so much of what's happening with the homeowners associations across America all of a sudden are facing the barrage of attacks. And part of it, I'm assuming, because now you have a group of people, you're trying to change that, right? You're trying to say, hey, listen, this is the deal. There's a kinder, gentler HOA system out there, and here's some great examples of it. Do you do that, too?
We do. And when the community association industry kind of was born, there was the perspective of let's create all these rules to take care of the aesthetics in the community, and that will help us ensure property values. And so there was a period of time early in our life cycle as a community association industry and people living in community associations where it was all about the rules are this and it's black and white and da-da-da-da. But what we found over the course of the last 20 years really is we don't have to be so literal in the rules. Yes, everybody buys into those rules, but let's look to each of the communities to govern themselves because it is all about neighbors governing neighbors and working together. Let's create what we want in our community and make sure that we're meeting the needs of those people buying in our community, living in our community, but then let's agree on what those rules are and enforce them moving forward. And let's do it in a more reasonable way, and let's get a community input on what we're doing and really make sure that this association can operate this way and this, you know, another association operates differently. And that is a challenge that we have at the legislature. They want the rules to apply to everybody. Well, a rural community in the middle of the state of Texas with no city services has different issues that they're dealing with than a downtown condominium unit in the city of Houston.
Right.
And so trying to address the needs of those individuals living in each of those associations and address the concerns at the state level is a challenge.
Yeah, no kidding. The statistics are interesting, too. I don't know the audience would be pretty surprised to learn, and you said this. About 60 million plus Americans actually live in homeowner associations, whether it's a condominium or a planned development or whatever it is. So that's a pretty big number when you think about the amount of people that live in this country. It's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out, I think, on the federal level and locally, too, for you in Texas. Sandra, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate it.